Virgil drew not only on Homer, he also used the great Greek tragedies that provided not only source material on the Trojan War, but also, perhaps surprisingly, some stylistic models as well. This is particularly noticeable in Book 4 of the Aeneid, which will have an entire lecture to itself, lecture number 6, the book in which Virgil talks about the love affair of Dido and Aeneas and how it goes very, very sour. That book, Book 4 of the Aeneid, is in many ways modeled on tragedies, on Greek tragedies, as we'll talk about in lecture 6. There was also another great Greek epic, aside from the two Homeric epics. There was an epic written in the 3rd century BC called the Argonautica, which deals with Jason and the Argonauts, the affair, the love affair and marriage of Jason and Medea, and so forth. It was written by a man named Apollonius of Rhodes, and Virgil clearly was very familiar with the Argonautica, and he draws on it to a great extent as well, especially in the characterization of Dido, again, as we will see in Book 4 of the Aeneid. Aeneas's influence I've already mentioned to some extent, certainly in the desire to use or the decision to use dactylic hexameter. Virgil is drawing upon Aeneas. He also gets some content from Aeneas, or at least he may have gotten some content from Aeneas. Since Aeneas's work is now fragmentary, we don't have much of it. It's hard to tell exactly how much Virgil drew on there. But the Annales, we know, told the story of Rome from Aeneas's flight from Troy up through Aeneas's own day. And so Virgil may well have borrowed several episodes from, modeled some episodes on, perhaps sometimes even disagreed with Aeneas. Aeneas's work would have been very familiar to Virgil's audience, so they would have recognized what he was doing, either in modeling on or disagreeing with Aeneas. And finally, perhaps most surprisingly to modern readers, Virgil used many phrases, turns of phrase, sometimes almost complete lines, that he borrowed from a lyric poet, not an epic poet, but from the great Roman lyric poet Catullus, who died around 54 BC, i.e. was just about a generation before Virgil. There are places in the Aeneid where Virgil flat out quotes Catullus, where he uses exactly the same wording that Catullus uses, sometimes with a rather surprising twist to it. For instance, the most famous line, I suppose, that he borrows from Catullus is a line that Aeneas says to Dido in the underworld when, after she has committed suicide out of love for him and her ghost won't speak to him. Aeneas says to Dido, "Invitus, regina, tuo de litore cessi. Unwillingly, O queen, I left your shore." That's an exact quotation from a poem by Catullus, and yet in the poem by Catullus, it is a lock of hair that was cut from the head of a queen and has turned into a constellation in the sky, saying to the queen, "I was unwilling when I left the crown of your head, when I left the top of your head." Only one word difference in the Latin, and yet what a difference in the feeling of the poetry. Catullus's poem is rather recherché, rather odd, a constellation talking about what it was before it was a constellation. Virgil takes the same line and makes it one of the most moving and memorable in the entire Aeneid, Aeneas pleading with Dido to forgive him because he was unwilling when he left her shore. This kind of allusion, this kind of borrowing or reference to an earlier author, my students sometimes accuse Virgil of plagiarism when I talk about this, but in Virgil's own culture, this was considered a kind of homage to the earlier poet and also an indication of how learned, well-read, sophisticated Virgil himself was, that he could take another poet's words, another poet's line, change it just a tiny bit, and give it a whole different resonance. So the Aeneid is a very rich web of references and allusions to earlier writers, both Greek and Roman. Almost any thread you pull out of Virgil's tapestry can lead you in many different directions at once. So in this lecture, we've given an overview of the background material to the Aeneid, both mythic and literary, on which Virgil drew to write his great epic. And we've seen how the Aeneid owes a great deal not just to Homer, but to less obvious sources such as the tragedians, Apollonius, and Catullus as well. In our next lecture, we'll consider one more essential type of background information, the historical and cultural milieu of Virgil's own day, what society was like when Virgil wrote the Aeneid, and even to some extent why he set out to write the Aeneid.